I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Diane Coburn-Bruning, Artistic Director of Chamber Dance Project.
And we are talking because you guys are doing a really, we're in the heat of this coronavirus thing, and you guys are doing a really, the first virtual Zoom rehearsal on Tuesday, April 14th. Now, before we get into that, let me back up a minute and just give a basic overview. You know, what is Chamber Dance Project? You know, tell our listeners who maybe never heard of it.
Chamber Dance Project is D.C.'s premier contemporary ballet company, and we work entirely with live music. So when you come to a performance of ours, you see the living choreographers, new works, and a lot of contemporary composers and the dancers and musicians all on stage together.
Okay, awesome. Now, how long have you guys been around?
I founded it in New York in 2000 with the idea that a lot of ballet dancers, almost all, have a very long summer layoff period from what I call their nutcracker companies, and all this talent was going to waste. So we started in New York every summer bringing together these fabulous ballet dancers and musicians and creating new work. I had the opportunity to relocate it to D.C. in 2013, which we did, and we opened at Kennedy Center in 2014, and we've been taken off ever since.
Awesome. And how many people are, you know, in the company?
We have 8 dancers and a string quartet, but we bring in other musicians, guest musicians. We've had brass band. We've had Gregorian chant from the National Cathedral group. We've had pianists, all sorts of other musicians. But our core group is our string quartet.
Okay, and then of the 8 dancers, are they, you know, are these all, you know, local to D.C., or do they come from all over?
We actually attract dancers from all over the country. This season, we're having dancers from Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, from Milwaukee Ballet, from Ballet Met in Columbus, and we usually have 1 or 2 Washington Ballet dancers as well.
Okay, awesome. Now let's move a little chronologically through this whole coronavirus the last several weeks here. So where were you guys in your, you know, were you in the middle of a current season or preparing for the first season? You know, when you first heard of the coronavirus, where were you guys at in your, you know, itinerary?
Well, we were just about to have our big gala at the Capitol Yacht Club at the Wharf. And we got out front and said, this is not going to be good for our artists or our patrons. And so we actually canceled it at the end of February. It was to be March 29th. We had to cancel some of our evenings with the artists where we get together our patrons and audience members in intimate settings, one-on-one with artists. So we had to cancel some of those. And I thought, why don't we pivot to virtual?
Awesome. Sorry. Now, tell me about pivoting to virtual. That's what made me think this would be a cool story idea, is the idea of a bunch of different dancers and choreographers, I guess, in their own rooms at their own houses. Or how the hell is this thing going to even work?
All right. So we got to move the furniture away. We got to get the laptop up. We're actually doing a rehearsal today to try out the process. But everybody will have their laptop facing them, standing in whatever room they can find, and we'll be in, I guess, 8 remote locations. We do have 2 couples, so we'll have 2 people in Milwaukee, 2 people together in Columbus, 3 separate people in Pittsburgh. I'm in Alexandria, and we'll all. I'm going to direct the rehearsal with a piece of music and an initial idea. I'm going to be choreographing it, watching them, giving them notes, altering it, creating movement on the spot, and then I'm going to hand it off to one of our other dancers who choreographs. And so we're going to create probably a 2-minute little ballet. And who knows what's going to happen? It's probably the most risky thing we've done in front of an audience online. But that's who we are. One of our taglines is get people closer to the art. So that's what we're doing. And we always open up rehearsals. So this one's going to be on their screen instead of the studio.
That's so awesome. What piece will you be choreographing?
All right. Well, the dancers don't even know, but I'm going to start with a piece. It's going to ultimately be with a repertoire piece that the quartet can play. But the piece I've chosen to start with is Iron and Wine, The Shepherd's Dog. Here's a little bit of it, maybe. I guess I can't play it while we're recording.
No, but you could send me it, and I can put the music under the radio piece or something like that.
Yeah, we're going to work on that. And then on top of this, we're going to do something that we also think is kind of cool. All our musicians are they're not getting together. None of our musicians are getting together. They're going to sit in their own little studio and play a piece of music in our repertoire. And we're going to edit them all together, so you're hearing them all play the same piece of music, and that is Samuel Barber's second string quartet Adagio, very well known. And we're going to edit it together.
I remember it in Platoon.
You what?
Wasn't it in Platoon?
Oh, God, yes, I think so, the Adagio, yes.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's in our repertoire as a pas de deux. So the four musicians this coming week are individually rehearsing it, and they're each going to play their part with their iPhone recording a selfie. Our editor's going to bring them all together, and in addition to seeing the musicians in their separate places playing, we're going to take what we do in the rehearsal Tuesday of the dancers and overlay it to make a video mosaic of this glorious music, and then send it out in the world. And
that is
it's crazy. I don't know. You know, we've had so many meetings about how is this going to work, and I just figured out I need three devices, so I'm going to borrow an iPhone because I have to be on iPhone video, and then I've got to be on Zoom, and then I got to play the music. And I have no rehearsal assistant, which I usually have. So I might have a virtual rehearsal assistant also on Zoom. So you know what? It's sort of crazy, but at this point in my career with Chamber Dance Project, I've had a wonderful career. Chamber Dance Project was supposed to go to Jacob's Pillow this summer, like the Tanglewood of dance. That got canceled. Our season is going to go in July instead of June, but we can't do 2 weeks and two programs. We can only do one because of finances and logistics. But what do we have to lose? Going virtually, everybody has loved this series, and it's built up. We've had three different virtual chats. We call them Tuesdays at 5, wine optional. We always start with a toast of what city is doing better now in the world over the virus. The first week I did a historical lesson on Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo with Diaghilev. The second week we had one of our dancer choreographers do an event, and he actually got up and did some things. And just Tuesday we had our costume designer go through the creation of three different costumes. So we're building up to the dancers, and my assistant tells me we've already got a huge list of people who are going to join us Tuesday.
That is so cool. All right, so how? So this, like you said, Tuesday will be open to the public. Do they need to do something specific to sign up ahead of time?
Yes. They could either go to chamberdance.org and under performances and events, virtual chats, or they could directly email to get the link, and that email is rsvp@chamberdance.org.
Awesome.
One of those days, and then they'll get the private link because we're not publishing the link.
Gotcha. Okay, so you don't want me to include the link in the article or anything like that?
No, you could also include the phone number, though. It's 202-499-2297. But I think the easiest is if they go to chamberdance.org and look under events and performances, they'll see virtual chat series.
Okay, cool. I can link to that, but then basically we'll have them go through you guys to get you know, the official
yeah,
access.
Yeah, and with what's happening with Zoom, we want to make sure we have an entrance list and check people
sure.
in.
Well, it'll allow you guys to sort of, you know, screen it and control it a little bit. So
a little control, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. Well, that's awesome. I guess, and then just remind me, forgive me if you mentioned it in there and I missed it, but what is this what is this hoping to build up towards, you know, once, let's say once coronavirus is back over, God knows when, no one really knows when that's going to be. But what's the goal? What are you guys going to hopefully, once you're back, you know, back live in person, what's the goal, what we're building up to here?
Yeah. While this is going on, we're committing to doing the free virtual chats every Tuesday. We have them already planned out through May. So every Tuesday at 5, that's us. And we are working towards New Works 2020, which is all new work by living choreographers with live music. And we plan to be on, we believe, July 23rd, 24th, 25th. But, of course, we have to stand by to make that firm as we see what the visitor to the world decides to do. But that is our goal. And then we're also planning to do the works we couldn't do in July in the early part of January when we're back in rehearsal.
And where will those be performed if you know, fingers crossed, we are back at
well,
it?
Well, our original season was to be again with Shakespeare Theater Company in the Klein Theater, and that's where we're hoping to go back to on 7th Street. Shakespeare just announced that they're keeping the theater's dark until July 5th, so hopefully we'll be a big breath of fresh air at the end of July helping to open their theaters again. We're a resident company with Shakespeare Theater Company.
Hey, and real quick before we go, I know that you recently had some action at Sundance. Explain.
Well, if you call 20 years recent, no, it was about oh, probably 25 years ago, as a young choreographer, I was really honored to be invited to do a film at Sundance with three other choreographers. We each had our own crew, our own dancers, our own editor. Mine was, I remember, Howard Smith, who did The Abyss, and the joke was, well, he didn't edit enough out of that film. But my mentors were Michael Kidd and Stanley Donen,
wow.
who were big in that, you know, Hollywood musical period, and I had a whole crew and dancers, and I did something that has come back lately in my ballet choreography, and it was a short film on the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock. So that's, we spent a month at Sundance. It was before Sundance was the glitz and glam, but it was pretty magical, and I fell in love with film from a different viewpoint, and I've always wanted to get back to it, and I've often flirted with the idea of starting a small dance film festival in D.C., because I personally would like to get back to dance on film, and I think it's a beautiful art form.
You said you worked with Stanley Donen. What was he like? I mean, come on.
Oh, he was a riot.
Singing in the Rain.
Right, and Michael Kidd was in Seven Brides, and Michael was a dancer as well as a choreographer. They were like Mutt and Jeff. They were a hoot, irreverent, and I learned a heck of a lot because as a young choreographer, I thought of everything being on stage, and what they taught me is you have possibilities with the camera that you will never have on stage. You have possibilities to direct the eye exactly as you wish. And that was such an interesting but difficult concept at first because I grew up in the theater. But it's amazing, and it's, I think, why I love film. And, you know, I'm sitting here on my desk. I have 101 Things I Learned in Film School by Neil Landau. You know,
I really
wanted to start something in D.C. Around dance film. I think it's a burgeoning area. And look at what we're doing with these virtual chats. We're putting dance on film. It's pretty rudimentary, but still, we're directing the eye to what we want to see and making choices for the viewers. So it's not a performing art. It's a creative visual art. But the possibilities are rife. And, yeah, when I read your bio all about your love of film, I thought, oh, I've been wanting to get back to film in through dance.
Well, yeah, that's perfect. And that's a perfect way to tie, you know, that at least for my piece, it's a perfect way to sort of tie in that concept, the fact that that these Zoom things are, in fact, visual dance.
So. Yeah, so maybe they're an ode to Stanley and Michael in my own little way. It's kind of zany. But I have to tell you one quick story about Sundance. my whole crew virtually was Mormon. Last day of filming, I brought in champagne. Nobody drank it. And I was like, what did I do wrong? Oh, they're Mormon. They don't drink. And I thought, oh, man, know thy surroundings. That was pretty fun. And the other funny thing was I thought it was terribly cruel to do more than 4 or 5 takes, and I let people know. But then you become meticulous, and you become picky and not satisfied. So I heard myself say, take 17, and I just cringed. So that was funny. But, yeah, it was a beautiful place before. I haven't been back, but I know it's just a big to-do. But, you know, Redford would be in the breakfast room with us, and we'd have private screenings. And our films were screened in their private screening room, I guess where the festival is now. So I can say, you know, my film screened at Sundance.
That's so, so awesome. Well, keep up the good work, and this will be exciting. I think it'll be a cool quarantine piece. I'm looking for a bunch of stories. So
okay, thank you for your support.